Hey there. Welcome to a deep dive into a world where, well, our brains meet technology.
Yeah.
We're talking brain-computer interfaces, AI that mimics how our brains work, even the idea of artificial consciousness. And the best part, this deep dive is tailored just for you.
Oh.
I know you're super into AI and the brain. You've shared some seriously interesting articles, so let's unpack them together. We're diving deep into those sci-fi-like breakthroughs, the companies and researchers pushing the limits, maybe even some surprising facts that'll make you rethink what you thought you knew about your own mind. You know?
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned the OmniPEMF neorhythm, the OmOPN, right?
Yeah.
That headband thing, promising better sleep, lucid dreaming.
Right.
Pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. Color me intrigued.
It's wild, right? These devices are marketed for wellness, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're tapping into a goldmine of neural data.
Mm.
We're talking about insights into our sleep stages, our emotional responses, even like our attention levels.
You're right. You're right. Makes you think about the trade-off, right? Like between getting these personal benefits and the potential privacy issues.
Yeah.
It's not like, say, medical devices where there are strict rules about data.
Exactly. And this isn't just some what-if scenario. Colorado just made a law classifying brainwaves as sensitive data under their Privacy Act.
Wow.
Makes you think, right?
Huh?
Should there be more regulations more widely, I mean, around consumer brain devices in general?
Yeah. It's like the Wild West out there when it comes to data privacy. But speaking of pushing boundaries, let's talk about a company taking brain-computer interfaces to a whole new level. Neurable. They are using AI to make thought-controlled VR a reality, which honestly is incredible and kind of unnerving at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
What are your thoughts on controlling digital stuff with just our minds?
It's a total game changer, no doubt. Imagine the possibilities. Like, for people with disabilities, it could be life-changing. But yeah, you're right. It also raises concerns. Data security. Misuse. Those are big ones.
Totally. It's a double-edged sword, like a lot of the technologies we're seeing today. But speaking of pushing boundaries and maybe even bending our perception of what's possible, let's talk about Elon Musk and his company Neuralink. Neuralink has been all over the news with its, like, implantable brain-computer interface.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to see why, right?
Yeah.
They're talking about everything from restoring movement for people who are paralyzed to, like, making our brains work better.
It's their approach that's really interesting. They're developing these super fine threads, way thinner than hair, that are put directly into the brain.
Mm.
They use a surgical robot for that part. The idea is to build a high-bandwidth interface that can both read from and write to tons of neurons.
Like straight out of sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
Those futuristic ideas becoming real. And they've already started human trials.
It is remarkable. Their first two patients, Nolan and Alex, have shown real progress.
Wow.
Nolan was paralyzed in a car accident. He can control a computer cursor now and even type using just his thoughts.
That's incredible.
And Alex, who has ALS, has regained some ability to communicate through a digital interface, of course.
That's amazing. I remember reading about Nolan learning new languages like French and Japanese through the implant.
Oh, yeah.
That's mind-blowing. Imagine if we could all just learn languages that fast. What's the process like?
Basically, they train the implant to recognize the neural patterns for language. Nolan worked with the system for weeks, building his vocabulary and fluency.
Wow.
It really highlights how adaptable the brain is, how it can work with new technologies.
That's incredible. And Alex playing Counter-Strike 2 with his mind, it seems like we're living in the future already.
It's important to remember Neuralink isn't alone in this field.
Right.
Other companies like Synchron are trying less invasive methods. They have this device, the Stentrode, that goes in through blood vessels. No brain surgery needed.
So there are different ways to build a brain-computer interface, each with its own pros and cons. What about the ethical stuff?
That's key, of course. With any tech that directly interacts with the brain, we have to think about data, privacy, potential misuse. We have to be sure these devices are used ethically with safeguards in place.
Absolutely. This tech is powerful. It could do a lot of good or a lot of harm.
Mm.
So these conversations about ethics are super important as things move forward. But let's switch gears for a bit and talk about another revolutionary concept in AI, neuromorphic computing. It's all about making computer chips that work more like the human brain.
Yeah.
You mentioned being interested in artificial general intelligence, AGI, right?
Right.
It's a topic that kind of naturally comes up with all these advancements, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where do you see AGI fitting in with these, like, brain-inspired computing models?
It's a great question. It highlights a really common misunderstanding, actually. See, neuromorphic computing, it takes cues from the brain, how it's structured, how it works. But it's not about, like, building a conscious machine, not directly at least. It's more about solving computing problems in a better way.
Okay.
AGI, on the other hand, that's about creating AI that can do all the things humans can do intellectually. Problem solving, learning, adapting, even abstract thought.
So it's not about copying the brain exactly, but more about like using its principles, like how neurons talk to each other, process information, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Think about it. Normal computers, they process one thing at a time. Our brains, they're doing a million things at once. Neuromorphic chips, they try to copy that parallel processing. Faster, less energy used.
Makes sense. So where does AGI come in? Are we saying these chips will be how we get to AGI?
It's a definite possibility. Some experts think neuromorphic computing might be the boost AGI needs. Like, our current computers, maybe they just can't handle the complexity of the human brain. Maybe we need a whole new approach. Wow. It's like we're trying to reach a whole new level of intelligence, but we're using the wrong tools or something. But even if we figure out AGI, there's still the consciousness thing.
Right.
Is it just about processing power?
Right.
Or is there more to it? Something about being human that a machine can never copy.
The age-old question. It's had philosophers and scientists stumped forever.
Right.
Some think consciousness just appears when a system gets complex enough. Build a really, really smart AI and boom, consciousness.
Mm.
Others say it's tied to being biological, to actually experiencing the world. Can't replicate that in a machine.
Makes you think, huh. We started talking about devices making our brains better. Now we're talking about like the very essence of what intelligence is, what it means to be conscious, and if machines can be too.
And that's the heart of it. This whole exploration, it's not just about cool gadgets. It's about us understanding ourselves, our place in all this. What makes us human when we have these intelligent machines around?
Wow. It's definitely given us a lot to think about. And like you said, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
AI will keep changing, keep challenging what we think is possible. Maybe it'll even teach us more about our own minds in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into brain gadgets, AI, and the future of thinking. From those brain-computer interfaces to the big questions about artificial intelligence, it's been quite a journey.
It has.
Until next time, stay curious, everyone. And remember, the future is full of possibilities.